Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. Boy, respect is what we have for our guest tonight. This gentleman has earned the respect of all the veterans across the nation. He sure absolutely earned the respect of both Denise and I, the co-hosts of Warrior Connection, and the other ones that have been involved, because where else do you say? But this is where it began. I mean, Mac, when we started this stuff several years ago, Chris Martini and Gary Noll contacted us and said, we need to do a documentary on golf war illness. Can we put it together? And ladies and gentlemen, they put an incredible one together. And that started out with there were actually two of them and killing their own. So there's two on the Gary Noll, the website for Gary Noll and on Progressive Radio Network. And the next thing we know, Chris is on his own, and Chris is putting together a full-length feature film called Trooper. Chris, welcome to the program you started.
Doug and Denise, thank you for having me on the show again. It's been a long time, but it's good to be back.
You know, I mean, you started this whole thing. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be out here to help the veterans, all the stuff that's happening today. I mean, you and Gary were instrumental in getting the homeless thing identified. You've been instrumental in getting the VA's butt kicked and everything else. How does that feel?
Well, you know, there's a lot of movies that deal with, you know, returning soldiers. Gary's was a documentary. Ours is a feature film with actors. But there aren't too many films that actually really get into the issues, you know, the psychological, the physical issues, and all the problems with the VA. So that's what we did, you know, because we're an independent film, we had a little more leeway to do whatever we wanted with that.
Well, let's tell everybody a little about Trooper. Trooper is a story about a current time veteran, OIF, OEF, and with his father, who is a Vietnam veteran. Both of them are going through their struggles, all kinds of struggles, and how they deal with life problems every day, how they deal with the medical issues. I mean, it's touched the heart, and it's touched the heart across the nation of anybody that's seen it.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people a lot of veterans that are going through the exact issues that we picked in the movie. You know, the veteran that I play in the movie comes back from Iraq, not only with PTSD, but also with, you know, bizarre health issues that could be related to vaccines or DU or any other kind of exposure that he got in theater. And he also discovers that his father, who not only is dealing with his PTSD from Vietnam, but also is dying from Agent Orange exposure. So, you know, it's not a comedy, but we really get into the issues deeply. And I think a lot of veterans don't see that in the movies these days, and that's probably why they responded to our movie.
One of the problems that's been through all the veterans has been understanding and recognizing the health effects of each one of these major combat operations through the years and what's happened to each group, isn't it?
Doug and Chris, I mean, I can't compliment Chris enough for moving forward and fighting through all the obstacles that he did to get this film out. It's another great one. I have a great list, and Chris's is up there on top, and also the Simplify movie that talks about exposures at Camp Lejeune. There's a need for these films to be made, and not just a film about American Sniper or Lone Survivor. It is the consequence of war and how we come home. And there's no other way to do it but get good films out there that really address the issues. And, Chris, you did a marvelous job with this film. I've told you that so many years that I'm just tickled that we met and that you carried on and got involved in another project and spearheaded this, starred in it. I mean, it's amazing to me. And I've watched the progress each year that you've made. And it's out there and available now.
Finally, yes. But I do have to thank Gary Null, because I edited his documentary, Gulf War Syndrome, Killing Our Own, and that was actually what got the whole thing started. I just, you know, chose a different vehicle. I like to work with actors, and I like scripts, and I think you can communicate the same kind of social message, you know, in a film with actors than you can in a documentary. Although some people like documentaries a little bit more for that reason, but I think ours is really emotional. And I liked American Sniper emotionally, but I do tell people that we did all the scenes that they left out.
Yeah, and Chris, you were the one that came to my house and videotaped me for Gary Knowles' documentary, one of them. And Gary Knowles has just been a supporter. He was up in D.C. when I guess his person doing the film had to leave, and we kind of took over and did all the taping. So I've got to hand it to Gary Knowles. I just hope we get this played, his documentaries and your film played on public TV. A lot of people, you know, go to public TV and watch what's on locally, and that's the one thing I've seen missing. Gary is on there on other issues, but he hasn't shown the Gulf War illness problem, and yours would be valuable, be a way to get it out further, and so I'm kind of directing y'all get to the public TV stations.
Well, we finally got the film on all digital platforms across America, North America. So it's on iTunes, it's on Xbox, PlayStation, you know, a variety of Vimeo on demand, a variety of platforms. So, you know, what we're hoping is that, you know, some of the networks like HBO find it on one of the digital platforms and want to pick it up. You know, Gary is a great guy. His films are amazing. He definitely touches on issues that everyone else is afraid to tackle, you know, like DU and like the vaccine issue. You know, so his films deserve to be seen on the big networks as well. But they also push the envelope, and, you know, a lot of big networks are afraid to actually go there.
And you're going to do another project. Tell us about your new thing that you're considering or thinking about doing.
Well, a man by the name of Miguel Vargas Caba, he's an author. He contacted me about a documentary on Soviet naval fighter pilots and the American fighter pilots that intercepted them during the Cold War. So I thought it was a really interesting subject. So that's the next one, is more of a Cold War themed subject, but still about veterans.
I thought I read a post from you that you were looking at some of the materials that have not gotten out there further enough of the interviews with that. Am I wrong?
Oh, I'm sure Gary is on top of, he likes to update all his films, you know, based on what's going on with the news, which is great because there's always, you know, new facts coming in. So I'm sure Gary is working on something as we speak.
One of the Chris, when you started this and the idea of putting together Trooper, I mean, you're taking all the information that you gathered from the documentary and all the interviews that you did, and you put it together. I mean, you've got an actor that was in Gary Swanson was in a lot of major films all around.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a very, very good actor, a very well-known actor, and I mean, it opens up there, and you're playing the guy as he comes home, okay, and he's just coming back from Iraq. He's got all these problems, all these challenges, get back to a home, and he finds his father is dying from Agent Orange. I mean, this is a real-life thing. We're looking at the generations, across the generations, because I know Denise and I both went to Desert Storm, and then my son went to Operation Iraqi Freedom, and during Freedom had five deployments. But, I mean, we're looking at multiple wars that are having the same effects. We look at Rollo Doff on our team. He went over and his son went over. And, I mean, how many families have we got where we're seeing this? This is the real life part of the horrors of war.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it reminds me, the movie reminds me, you know, right off the bat of two people that I was really close with that were Vietnam vets, and one was also an atomic vet. They're both passed on now, but that was Vic Sylvester, whose son, you know, served in the Gulf War, and Coy Overstreet. And they both had offspring that served in the Gulf War, got involved early on, and were some of the key people that helped connect the Gulf War veterans to the problems. Victor's son, he went with him when he was packing out to leave, and, you know, he asked the unit of men, you know, what can we do from home to help you guys? And their one thing they told to Vic, Vic having been in Vietnam, was we need everything documented. We'll be too busy at war, but we need all the documentation saved. You know, because we feel like there'll probably be problems like Agent Orange. And Vic took up that pledge and started with a bulletin board on AOL with the information from the check confirmation of chemical exposure. And Coy, having been Vietnam and an atomic vet, keyed in on the depleted uranium issue. And his daughter was a nurse, in fact, and Coy had been naval intel before in his history. So, you know, Vic and Coy connected down there in Texas. And people may not know this. It has come out, you know, since the Gulf War 24 years ago, almost 25, coming up next year. But those
Hey, Denise, you're going to have to speak up in the mouthpiece. Your volume is falling off pretty bad.
Two men did so much for the Gulf War veterans, getting the issue out there, connecting Gulf War vets to Gulf War vets, and it made a world of difference, I think, for all of us. We owe a debt to those two men.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I encountered after making this film and just, you know, talking to veterans is a lot of the guys that that are coming home or being helped, you know, within the VA system or even outside of the system from getting help from the Vietnam vets. And, but I do want to touch on one thing that, you know, back to the BU issue, you know, I think it's going to take years for it, you know, just like Agent Orange before it's, you know, fully dealt with, by the VA, but I've had Iraq veterans, you know, a Marine who was deployed in 2003, who's a huge supporter of our film. He was asked to, you know, pick up pieces from a friendly fire incident, and I think there was DU munitions were involved, and you know, so of course, you know, he was, you know, walking in it, breathing it. And when he went into the VA to you know, he on the form he checked off, you know, DU, but of course they did nothing about it. And it was never asked again. It was just sort of a box that he could check off, but, you know, never dealt with, completely swept under the rug. So when he saw our film, it, you know, it reminded him of that, and he's, you know, he had never seen that and dealt with in a movie before. So,
Chris,
when you end the story there, when your character, he comes back, okay, and Murphy is going to the VA doctor, and it seems like it hit the reality. And every time I watch the film again, it hits me because the doctor says, well, I lost your file, I don't know, or I don't have time to go looking for it. I mean, is that something that you found across the nation when you and Gary were doing the research for the original film? Or?
Well, you know, we needed something, you know, dramatically to divert the issue. you know, away from the real issue. And when we were filming that scene, I actually had Jerry De La Sala, who's an Iraq veteran, who was played a role in the movie as a civilian, but he was also the military advisor. He was on set for that scene, and I remember him standing behind the camera when I was, you know, reading my lines, and he had expressed, you know, similar frustrations with the VA, I believe. And I remember just kind of, you know, looking into his eyes but I could feel his presence there as I was acting the scene. And, you know, I think it made it that much more real to me as an actor. And that is probably what was communicated so strongly in that scene, because I was thinking about him and all the frustrations that he went through. And, you know, I'm sure files are lost all the time and that kind of thing, because they really don't want to deal with the DU issue.
Yesterday I was at Rural King, which is a local farm store here in Rantoul, Illinois, and I had the wife of a vet came up, and he's having the total frustration. He was in the Navy and had a real bad time. He was on the Ranger, one of them. But right now he's trying to go through VA vocational rehab, you know, trying to get back employed, get a job, and get retrained there because of physical medical problems interfered with his normal career. Mm-hmm. And trying to get through to these people or trying to get a response is just total frustration. I mean, she was just absolutely flustered yesterday that they keep making the phone calls and nobody responds to the phone calls, even though you leave messages on the answer machines.
Yeah, you know, the VA issue was the biggest issue that I wanted to address in Trooper, because it's the one part of the problem that there shouldn't be a problem. There shouldn't be veterans coming home that have to wait that long. That shouldn't happen. You know, that I think it to me seemed like the biggest thing that needed fixing.
Chris, I was thinking, I mentioned this to both of you before we started the program today, but you know, I pulled up that we lost a very valuable professor with the DU issue, being mm-hmm. Professor Gunther. And my mm-hmm. concern is we're not doing a documentary on all the researchers and scientists that have gotten involved in the past 24 years, be it Dr. Gunther, be it Dr. Durakovich, mm-hmm. be it, mm-hmm. you know, Leah Steele, Dr. Galam, you know, all the researchers that have come out and tried to help with the Gulf War illness. And that's a really huge need. So I guess if you talk to Gary Null, the next documentary, I think we need to grab these people, because mm-hmm. we've lost some. We've lost Karini Bhatt. And we certainly need to get them on film and documented of, you know, how they got involved, what they tried to do to help their fellow veteran or doctor that got involved because they had been in research with civilian chronic fatigue. That is a story that needs to be told and documented. And just thinking about losing Dr. Gunther and having lost Dr. Karini Bhatt, that, you know, we can't get them on tape anymore. They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
After all.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need a show to show what the researchers and scientists have tried to help with, and our own veterans that stood up and did whatever they could to help get the issue out, like Herb Smith, Colonel Herb Smith. You know, I just think that we're missing a chance here that we need to grab hold of. And I hope somebody grabs hold of it and gets the word out. And maybe through your work with your film, you found some other people with your expertise that could get involved and help.
Yeah, Chris, what did it feel like? I mean, here you've been doing all this research, and now you're actually acting out the role. What did that feel like? What was going through your mind as you're doing this?
Well, you know, you hear a lot about PTSD in the news. You know, you hear it a lot. There are a lot of organizations dedicated, you know, specifically to PTSD, but what you don't hear about are all the other health issues that these men and women are going through that you know, have an effect on every other aspect of their life. So, you know, as I was playing this character, I guess the biggest thing that I was thinking was just the overwhelming amount of issues that they're dealing with, you know, and not just that, but sort of, you know, American society in general, just the people around them and, you know, having a hard time relating to their families. It just, I could easily relate because, you know, there's so many issues. And you know, they just really need our help right now.
The romantic relationship that shows up in the movie, I mean, it's neat at the same time, but it still shows all the disturbing problems because, I mean, he comes back and he's got these problems and he meets this girl and again, the relationship that they have between each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, the tenseness and all this stuff. I mean, these young kids coming back and they're so traumatized by war and their brain is so scrambled and they're trying to get medical care. They're trying to get a job. They're trying to establish or get a family back together. I mean, somehow you got it across in the film. You really did show it. But I mean, the woman that plays a girlfriend in there, I mean, what was her experience or where did she come from? I mean, she's nailed this role beautifully.
Well, there's two girlfriends. There's the girlfriend that dumps him when he gets back, and then there's the new girlfriend. But the first girlfriend, there is a scene that will be on the special features on the DVD that never made the movie. Actually, the scene is in there, but we had to trim it down considerably. There were issues, I think, in that scene that were so powerful on their own that you know, because of that subplot, it didn't work within, you know, the full context of the movie. But there was moments in the scene with the girlfriend where they talk about depleted uranium and the birth defects and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the girlfriend who had been doing research on it, And she made it seem like it was part of the reason why she didn't want to be with him, you know, and that was one of the hardest things for me to cut just because it was, you know, so real, something that I had actually seen a headline for on Democracy Now!, I think.
Yeah, I think one of the things happened, I mean, this is real world because the first thing we had on our DU team from Desert Storm, and you met a lot of these guys, Chris and Denise, you met them, the 144th, mm-hmm. when Melissa McDermott, the VA in Baltimore, actually did the urinalysis, and they did the urinalysis, but then they decided, well, we'll check the semen, and lo and behold, their semen came out hot for DU.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and again, Denise, you made the mention while we were getting ready that Gunther has died, and this is a gentleman, a German doctor, that discovered all of this stuff and saw it firsthand. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's a real world frightening thing, and I wonder, in a movie, it comes across strong, but how many people really truly understand the impact, and how do we get that impact across? I mean, you did a good job in the movie. But here the guys want to start a new relationship and everything else, but now we've got this horror hanging over their head of all the chemical and biological exposures. And it's not just depleted uranium, all the effects from immunizations. I mean, we absolutely know this is changing the RNA, the DNA. Denise, the latest research is confirming it's changing the mitochondria, correct?
Yes, and in fact, we'll have another published paper will be coming out from the one that Dr. Drakovich got involved. Dr. Hing has done more chromosome work. I helped with him getting bigger sample size. And he informed me a couple of weeks ago that he's working on his paper to get it published now. So that will be coming out shortly on the chromosome aberration, like on the Discovery Channel. the show that we got on when we got 5 or 6 or 7 tested. So that will be coming out in a new peer-reviewed published article sometime soon. And the mitochondrial is Dr. Galum's work out in San Diego. I have two questions for Chris. Chris, where all was the movie shown, premiered at? What major cities?
As far as festivals, we had our world premiere in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival. The film also screened at the Garden State Film Festival. They are a great film festival. They really support veterans. They got completely behind our movie, kind of were instrumental in, in helping us get exposure. Film won awards there. But as far as the military groups, we had a screening at the Military Writers Society in Florida. That's where the veterans really first got behind the movie. I saw, Special Forces guys from Vietnam crying during the movie. They were just completely taken by it. And, but it was still a work in progress. So we actually, I spoke to, do you guys know Bill McDonald? He's a writer, a Vietnam vet. He was the head of the Military Writers Society. He actually had some thoughts on the ending that I went and reshot based on what we discussed. So we were still working on it, but we went on to screen it for NYU Iraq and Afghanistan vets, and then we screened it for veterans at John Jay College. We screened it for the 101st Airborne in Florida again, and there were World War II vets there that were coming up to me after saying that they had never cried in a movie. So it was those screenings that really cemented the fact that we had to get it out there, and we couldn't, stop until we made that happen.
Okay, follow-up question would be, is it too late to have film festivals have this movie?
No, I don't think so. Some festivals have, a date that it has to be completed by. Some don't take films that were shot too long ago, but many do.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Sundance. And Denver has a big film festival. They showed Sympathy here. And another was one out in L.A. also. But I encourage you not to stop getting it out that way.
Sundance, Trevor Groth sent me an email. He's the head of programming at Sundance. And they couldn't fit it in that year that we submitted. But he told me he actually couldn't stop thinking about the movie, and he recommended it to Tribeca and LA Film Festival. So yeah, we're definitely going to keep, submitting it. We get requests often. We just screened it in Tacoma, Washington at the Diversity Film Festival. So we still get requests for it. Absolutely.
Well, we have two more comments, and I'll quiet down. Sergeant Sullivan Center has started now in D.C., and it is a family that lost their son to Gulf War illness, very similar to what you've heard all around. But their family has been attending our Research Advisory Committee meetings, our Institute of Medicine meetings, and speaking out. And we'll have another one of the RAC meetings toward the end of April is what I'm being told now. So it might be a place that we might be able to get a premiere lined up in D.C. Toward the end of April, and that would help bring the issue more to light. The other thought I had, Chris, is... with Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show, and he has been very good with veterans issues. Before he leaves, maybe we can get you on to talk about the film and do a promotional like he does on the books and all that come out.
Would love to. You know, it really doesn't stop, you know, because the problems never stop. They keep going, and it's something, you know, these men and women are going to be going through for a long time. So, you know, it's a film that just, you know, it's not going to, there's no expiration date on it.
That's true. But I would encourage you to try to get in touch with Jon Stewart and see if you can get a time on his show before he leaves. I mean, he announced last night that he's, you know, leaving. He didn't put a date on it yet, but he has been pretty supportive on veterans, giving the VA a hard time with the wait list and all that. So I think it might be something he would grab and do.
Yeah, actually, celebrities in the media are exactly what we need. We're trying to get on their radar because, you know, it's a little bit harder to find our film, and we really need veterans to see it. And, you know, so these celebrities, these news anchors and journalists who care about veteran issues are really the ones that are going to be able to, you know, to tweet and get people to see this film.
The last comment is Charlie Rose just did a show on PBS, on his Charlie Rose show that's carried on a couple of channels, did a gathering, you know, around this round table on the American Sniper film, and had Robert McDonnell connected, you know, the Secretary of the VA connected, and on the show too. So, and Charlie Rose covered a Gulf War issue many years ago, Gulf War illness issue. So that might be another connection to make, and, you know, get the film out there and get it talked about.
Definitely, and I did want to say that we had a one piece of good news that just came in. I did an interview with the Huffington Post three years ago, I think, and the journalist, his name is Joshua Kors, and he's one of the most prominent writers about veteran issues. Do you guys know who he is?
Yes, I've read some of his material, yes.
Anyways, he saw the movie, and he was willing to interview me, and he interviewed me a long time ago. He's finally actually going to release this interview, so it's going to be great for the film. He really liked it. And, you know, it's Huffington Post, so we're hoping that gets a lot of people to see our movie.
Yeah, and Patricia Klein is with Military Times. She covered the Gulf War illness issue. Kelly Kennedy, one of our own, you know, was with USA News Today, but with their cutback on staff, she's now working at Bergman & Moore up in the D.C. area, and she puts out information. She's still writing stories and getting the press to cover her releases, so she would be another one to contact, Kelly Kennedy.
Great.
So these are people that have, you know, kept the information flow going in the Military Times, and Kelly had written with Military Times before and then went to USA News. And like I said, she's now the outreach person for Bergman and more lawyers on the veteran claim situation. But she has been there at the IOM and wrote up an article, got it published. Even though she's not with USA News Today, she still has her connections to get articles out. So I'd encourage you to contact those people also.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing a wide reach, you know, you know, anyone who writes about veterans issues who can recommend the film to people.
Chris, could you just do a brief, here we got about 15 minutes left here or so. Could you do a brief synopsis of what the film is, and then how can people watch it or look at it today? I mean, it's out there on the Internet in whatever they call that, heaven, I don't know. But could you do a brief synopsis on the film? I mean, Denise, obviously, since we were totally involved, understand it from the beginning, probably we see more into it than actually there. But could you give a synopsis for our readers or our listeners, and then how can they find it to look at it?
Absolutely. So the film is called Trooper, and the story centers around a Iraq veteran who's a National Guardsman. He comes back from a long tour, and as soon as he gets home, he realizes that his father, who's a Vietnam veteran, is dying. And it's never mentioned in the film, but it's suggested that it's Agent Orange exposure. So the film then follows this character going about his daily life and dealing with PTSD, and also dealing with all the problems in terms of trying to reintegrate into society, and deal with the war mode that is still in his head, that is unable to turn off. But while this is all going on, he's experiencing very bizarre health issues, like rashes, memory issues, just a huge list of problems. So when he goes to the VA, these problems go untreated. But the beautiful thing about this movie is that the relationship between the father and son, it's essentially a father-son story. And there's hope, because it shows how, the dad is actually the best person to help him, and he does. And I don't want to ruin the movie, but it really is. It gets the facts across about the issues, but it's also very emotional. If anyone wants to see it, the film's available on iTunes, Xbox, PlayStation, Google Play. It's available on Vimeo On Demand, and we are working on DVD right now across North America, and we soon are working on VOD, Video On Demand, in the U.S. We have VOD in Canada on Shaw and SaskTel and MTS. So we're making that list grow daily.
What were the changes as you went through and started to put the movie together, and all the researches you've been doing for quite a few years now, with all the documentaries with Gary Nolan you did, and then this, and then the actors you had? How has it changed and affected your life, and what have the actors said about how it's affected their lives?
Well, when you work on a film that has been at the top of the headlines, these issues of veterans has been at the top of the headlines since 2001, it makes it, what you're doing, very important. I like working on comedies because it makes you laugh, but when you're working on, something that real people are experiencing daily, it just, as an artist, as somebody who creates, it gives you, a huge sense of purpose. And I think that everyone involved in the film felt the same way. And that purpose continues even after the film is completed and out there, because, it makes it so much easier to market the film, do these radio shows and tell people about the movie when it's such an important issue.
I think the big difference, I know when we were shooting the documentary, Killing Their Own, and the other one before that, I mean, here we're, in our technical mode, and we're talking about the hardcore reality from the technical side, the medical side, when we were there. But even though, I mean, Denise and I have both been out there, and we've all been out there together, where, you know, you get emotional when you give a talk or a presentation to a group of people. But that's completely different when you're acting or in a play or in a movie than something there. It's hard to describe it because the feelings are so much different. I mean,
well, I had to, you know, as an actor, you have to do research just like you would as a writer. You know, you have to bury yourself in research, just saturate your mind so that, you know, all the details are there and you can just let the emotion come out, you know. And I think Gary's documentary actually provided me with that research. You know, I was given hours upon hours of just hard facts and, you know, it's those facts that were sitting in the back of my mind as I'm, you know, doing these scenes, that I think, you know, make it so real. But also, you know, you think about people going through these problems, it makes it very hard. And it was also difficult to get out of that role too, because once you take yourself there, you know, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, we've had here lately on Warrior Connection, if you've been listening, Jason and Gary have set up us with incredible authors and people that have incredible insight.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's come across, and if you look at this and it comes across strong in your film, is that dual family. You got your civilian family, so you, in this case, he's got his father and his brother, and then he's got his girlfriends, but then he's got his military family. And so at the end, I mean, he's walking in what, a subway station or train station. I mean, I don't understand that lifestyle because I live on a farm. But he's on his, I mean, you put it in, he's on his way back to Iraq. He requested another deployment to go back to his other family. I mean, you've got that so shown there. It's so powerful at the end. I mean, he's got to go back. He's got to go back, and he's already sick.
That ending, I actually spent 2 years reshooting the second half of the movie because, you know, you learn things as you go about what soldiers would really do. And you know, there were some civilians that had problems with that ending because they didn't understand, like, how a guy would go back after all that he's been through. But they simply don't know, you know, what it's like to be over there and come back and not know any other way of living. You guys know what I'm talking about.
The other thing, too, and this is one thing, and I mean, we've touched upon it, but we haven't touched on it, and this is the ethical and moral crisis and the reality of the war. I mean, when we look at World War II, that our fathers, when absolutely necessary, the horror of the Holocaust and everything, there's no way to describe it, what was happening in China, no way to describe it. But then we get to Vietnam, and then we get to Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom. And there's no clear-cut justification or rationale for the war. And now the poor warrior has been involved in it, and he comes back all medically trashed. He can't get his medical care. And yet he's still somehow standing up and holding up this part of his life that has destroyed his life.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that across, Chris. How did you get there? What did that feel like? I mean, he's understanding now that his father's dying of Agent Orange, and he tells his brother so. And I think in the film, isn't his brother in Iraq at that time when he has the conversation, his father's dying?
Yeah, his brother, you know, is sort of the hardened soldier. And, you know, it's vague whether that is, you know, denial or just pure this wall that he's put up, you know, in order to survive over there. But, you know, it's as I said again, it's something that, you know, civilians, you know, might not understand. But if you ask soldiers, you know, what is the urge to go to be back there, and I think only they would understand that.
What's next, Chris?
Call it adrenaline, call it, you know, this is the only thing that they know, but it seems to be a common thing that I heard from soldiers, like, within my research, when I was doing my research.
I mean, when you started this whole project, I mean, when you guys started the whole thing, and when we got involved years ago with the first films with Gary on actual documentaries, what did it feel like in getting your fingers wrapped around this huge story, and then as you dig into it, you find out it doesn't improve. It just gets worse and worse and worse by the minute and by the revelation. What was that like?
Well, you know, I had no idea about the DU. I had no idea about the vaccines and, you know, the chemical weapons depots and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I knew about PTSD. I knew about TBI. You know, I knew about Agent Orange, but I didn't know about those things. And, you know, so it was, you know, a complete eye-opener. It's like watching The Matrix or something. You don't, you know, because you learn something that has completely been hidden from you. But, you know, but that also opened up another can of worms, which is that, you know, what about the Iraqi civilians that are experiencing the same issues? You know, that is another movie.
Yeah, you could do a whole movie on that. I mean, what has happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, what's happened in Somalia, the Balkans, what's happened in Vieques, Puerto Rico. I mean, it's devastating across the world, and yet we're still in this horrible denial phase. Today's news that we're coming up, and they want to have more troops on the ground and more combat operations against ISIS. And yeah. I'm not so sure what the heck is going on over there. I get the sense it's just everybody, the people that live in those regions, are totally fed up with foreign domination and foreign intervention in their government, and destruction of their infrastructure and how they live, total destruction. I mean,
yeah,
they've got to be so flustered and irritated.
You know, Bill McDonald, my good friend, Vietnam vet that I mentioned before, said that, you know, that part of the world is just a vortex of evil, of problems. You know, I don't want to say evil, but, you know, I can't get to sleep at night when I think of, you know, the civilians and the rise in cancer rates and, you know, and them, you know, they're living over there. They're living in it. And, you know, it's another movie.
My mind is sitting here spinning because, I mean, this movie is so important and it's so critical and there's so much that's there. I mean, it's a documentary, but it's not a documentary. It's a full-length feature film, but it's unlike anything else that's ever been done before. I mean, you know, we talked about it here on, you know, everything before, and today, I mean, the trial started for Chris Kahle's killer. But the sense that I got from when this happened and then reading Chris's book and reading everything, this guy that killed him was so messed up beyond comprehension from the war that when Chris Kahle and his friend tried to take care of him and help of him, that everything just boiled over and ended up, Chris Kahle ended up getting murdered. Well, that trial is starting today, but what's even the possible outcome of a trial like that dealing with these individuals who have been so traumatized?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. And I did hear that the movie has gotten in the way of the trial, which is pretty, you know, I guess a dangerous thing. But I just think that there's so much going on. A lot of these veterans I hear from on Facebook, you know, they're suffering silently. You know, and so, you know, this is one of the many stories that you hear, you know, over and over again. I think that one happened to get, you know, a little more publicity, but, know, I'm sure this kind of stuff is just is going on as we speak, you know, 1,000 times that many. And then there's the homeless veteran population, which is, you know, another movie.
I mean, when you guys started your film, Killing Your Own, and you guys got into this homeless population, and you were doing all that research, I mean, I get the sense that the homelessness and the homeless issues are far, far worse than we even imagine, aren't they? What did you guys find when you dug into that?
I don't, you know, Doug, I don't actually remember too much about the homeless issue in that movie. That might have been an earlier version that I worked on, but you know, my brother Max, who's in Trooper, he's an actor. He was in Captain Phillips, and he's working on a story about a homeless veteran. And so, in helping him and being part of his research, he's more focusing on TBI and homelessness, which there's so many aspects to the veteran issues and the problems that it's sometimes you don't know which, you know, to focus on.
Well, we got a couple minutes left here. Could you please go over again exactly the specifics on the film, the name, some of the actors, and all this stuff? And obviously we'll put this up on the website for PRN, but how people can watch the film that's out there, or how can they get it requested for a showing?
Sure. Trooper is the name of it. And if one were to Google it, they would just put in Trooper and my last name, Martini, which would be the easiest way to find it. It's available on iTunes, Xbox, PlayStation, Google Play, and Vimeo On Demand, and more platforms coming soon. My website, where you can also find it, is triplemartiniproductions.com. And if anyone were to email me, it would be triplemartiniproductions@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to set up a screening or just pass on some information. I love it when people watch the movie and let me know what they think. So anyone is able to contact me that way.
You know, I want to make it very loud, and I think Denise feels the same way. Chris, we've got to thank you for everything done, because the dedication you've shown over the years, the sacrifices that you've gone, the economic, the home life, everything else, your daily life that you've put on hold to help the veterans and get the story told is, I mean, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Chris.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm doing it as a thank you to the troops that continue to do things for me daily. So,
what's next? Yeah. Another film in the process or anything?
Always. You know, always working on something. I am working on a comedy. So, it's nice to switch it up. But always have something in the works, Doug. You know, I try to make the time in between my movies, you know, less and less.
So, Denise, have you got any updates or anything as we roll out here to the final minute or so?
Well, the only thing I'm getting out is a potential date for the new Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Illness, the VA Advisory Committee. I haven't got a firm date. It was going to be in March. They've now moved it to sometime in April. So we're trying to get more vets to come.
Anyhow, we'll get that up for everybody. Okay, I guess, well, we're down to the last minute, and I think it's about time to close out. Chris, thank you very much. Denise, thank you. Chris, God bless you. I mean, when we first heard from you and you said, let's do a documentary and then let's do a feature film, had no idea how well it was going to turn out and how good it still can be. But we're all praying that it's going to end up. Maybe one of these days we'll sit there and go, hey, you want to go to an Academy Award ceremony?
Doug, Denise, thank you for having me. Anytime, it's been a pleasure. Just happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much. God bless America and take care, guys. Good evening.